Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Here, Bert Show.
Producer Joanna Rodriguez. What's going on with you, Joanna?
So I always thought that at 25, I would be a little more financially stable in my life. And I'm realizing that's not the case. And I'm having to rely on Jason, my boyfriend, for things financially. And I'm not just talking about, like, you know, we go out to dinner and he pays for things. It's just something he's always done. Even when I've always tried to pay, when I did have money and I was making more of a steady income, he wouldn't let me. But things like household things that are going on, like my air conditioner at my house broke. And he had to fork over the money to pay for it.
How much was that?
Well, originally we thought it was going to be more than it actually was. But it was like about $200 to repair that. And then
that's actually pretty lucky.
Yeah, typically
that's $4,000 or $5,000.
Right, I thought it was going to be $2,500, and he was going to have to cover it. But then we got a second opinion, and it was $200. And then I need new tires on my car, and he had to fork over the money for the tires. I needed a new battery. He had to fork over the money for the battery.
Are these gifts or loans? Like, do you say?
I say I will pay you back, and he says, "Don't worry about it." Because in his mind, he thinks, well, we're going to get married one day, so I'm just helping you out right now. It's not like...
In his mind, he's thinking you guys are going to get married one day.
That,
in his mind,
me.
Okay.
No, but I mean, he does say that. Like, what's mine is yours. You know, financially, we're going to be set. So I'm helping you out now because I know in the future we're going to be together. And
do you realize with every set of tires, your ring gets a little tiny bit smaller?
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to tell him to stop and just let the tires fly. And it's really crushing me because I've lived on my own since I was 18 years old, and I've never relied on anybody. Mm-hmm. So it is absolutely killing me inside to let him do this. And I don't know what else to do. And it's making me realize, obviously, that I need to get myself together. I need to save. I need to put money away because I don't want this to ever happen to me again. I don't want to have to rely. And it breaks me up because this is really killing my pride. I don't want to have to rely on Jason for anything. Mm-hmm. And I get that from my grandmother, who's always told me, don't ever rely on a man. You need to make your own money and you need to take care of yourself. So I hate that he has to do this.
Is this just recession time stuff, or is this...
It's the fact that, yeah, I had to go from a weekly paying salary to not...
To, you know, this.
to being with you guys.
Exactly.
I think this is such a common story right now. I think there are so many people that for their entire lives have been so dependent on themselves. And for whatever reason, because of the recession now, they've had to depend on other people. And it totally hurts your pride. Either having to call your parents and move back in or borrow money from a brother or a boyfriend. So many are in that place right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know... I just don't want him to think that I don't have it together. You know, like, he is so financially stable and, you know, he can afford to help me out. And I just don't want him to be like, what am I getting myself into? She can't even afford a $100 pair of tires, you know, or a $100 tire or a $100 battery. So I just, it's just really killing me inside.
I think it's that he does want to be the provider, like, eventually, like you said, like, as you have your life together. So I don't think that he sees it like that. I think he sees it as he can be your man and take care of you when you need it. And it's not like you're asking him to go buy you a pair of Jimmy Choo's.
Right.
Like, you're asking him for things you need in your life, you know, in order to rent out your house, like, you needed the air conditioner to work. In order to be able to, you know, get to work every day and back, you need tires on your car. So I think that... if you were asking him for lavish things or you were trying to be a gold digger or whatever, then I would say be worried about it. But these are basic things that he probably feels really good about being able to help you with.
I also think there's a timing issue here also. You guys have been going out with each other for a very long time. You love each other. It's a foregone conclusion that you're going to get engaged, at least in your mind. And it's not like you guys are going out for 3 weeks and you're starting to ask him for tires right. and help on air conditioning, which changes everything. Right. This is a guy that loves you, and his job is to support you, and yours is to him.
And I understand that, but I still want to be more stable, like, for myself. Because if he does leave tomorrow, I've got to make it on my own. You know, I still think that way. Like, if something happens and we didn't work out, I need to make sure that I can take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to rely on him.
Wasn't that what you have Southside for?
I think he can sense your independence, and I think that's why he loves you, and I think that's why he doesn't think that you're mooching off of him, because he can see the struggle, as I think with anybody, because there's a difference between the people that struggle with these decisions and the people that don't, you know, because I do think there are people that probably take advantage of the recession too.
Hey Jamie, good morning, you're on Q100.
Good morning. I'm just calling more on Joanna's story. Mine's somewhat similar. I'm 25 years old and had a little run in South America for a couple of years, and I came back and was jobless. Lucky to find a job right now with Georgia State University, and with a temporary job, I get paid $10 an hour and no health insurance, and I actually am forced to live with my parents, and I got in a car wreck, and so they had to pay for a car to get me to work, and so I'm just telling you, like, maybe this time period, which for you, for me, this is transition, and it is part of the recession. And I just want to tell you to stay positive. And I know it's frustrating just because right now I'm kind of, I think I have walking pneumonia. And my last resort is to go to the doctor. But I'm actually forced to go today, but pay out of pocket. And it's just like, it shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't, you know, have to, you know, depend on going to the doctor at last choice, you know. So I'm in the same boat as her. And I just wanted to say, stay positive and stay strong.
Her life is like a country song right there.
Yes.
And I was thinking, adds to the sensitivity to things in the future. I never think a bad time is a bad lesson. You know, I think that it just makes you more compassionate to others when you're out of this situation and you see other people in it.
Here comes Scott. He's on the Voice Disguiser. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going? I was just thinking about what she was talking about how this guy's spending money and everything. I'm actually a full-time student in school, and there's a girl that I'm actually really crazy about, and she's just a good friend of mine. I'm not even dating or anything. We do go out, we have fun and everything, and I've spent in about 5 months about close to $10,000. But
whoa.
In 5 months?
You want to date Joanna?
No, this one person is just an awesome person. She's fun to be around.
It's such a different texture to what you're talking about than what Joanna's talking about, though. Like, I mean, I think this girl, I mean, she could probably be, I couldn't even take that kind of money from somebody I just met. Mm-mm. I wouldn't even allow you to do it, you know?
Yeah, but it actually makes me happy about myself also. And she's just a really special person. I got to finish my school, yes. I got to get back into work. I used to own a business. And until that changes, maybe something else could change. But at this point right now, she's just a really good friend.
Are you going to be upset if she never gets with you romantically?
Do what?
I said, are you going to be upset if she does not get with you romantically after spending this money on her?
You know, I'm not. I don't know about that get to me right now. I know she has a real heart and everything.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And I'm just trying to be as supportive as I can through what she's going through herself.
Do you think there's any chance that you are being taken advantage of?
Really? I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Guys have this gear. Like, we can wait. We've talked about this before. I call it the waiting in the weeds theory, where you could just wait and wait and wait, and we can pretend to be friends for a really long time just on the 1% chance that eventually she'll see us for the sensitive, great-looking guy that we are. And it generally happens at 2:30 in the morning on a Friday night where she has a vulnerability and we pounce. But it very, very, very rarely ends up, I think, in a long-term relationship. Yes. All right, dude. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah, y'all have a great night.
I think that's so different than what you're talking about, though.
Right. Joanne, I think it's great you have somebody to rely on and that isn't your parents. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people don't have that extra support and people are embarrassed to go ask their parents for help. You have a great boyfriend who's willing to help you out when you need help.
And he is. He's great and he's wonderful. And don't think for a second that I'm not putting something away to pay him back, obviously. Like,
and you would do it for him, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you were
didn't work in radio.
I mean, if you were in the position to make more money and you felt like you could help him out, you would do it. And you wouldn't look bad on him for that, right?
No. I just want to make sure that, you know, obviously my question goes out to the guys. Like, I guess I felt like, do I deserve such a great guy? Because I can't even get myself together. And this guy's so wonderful and he's got everything together. Like, do guys look at that like a girl that doesn't have her life together financially? Like, do you look down on that? Is that...
But I don't think it's because...
It's a complicated answer.
If you're trying, which makes it okay. Like, you're working. Like, everybody knows. Oh, Lord, do we know... that radio is a sucky business to get started in.
Right.
And you do it for, you know...
nothing.
Decades, if you're lucky, and then you get the big paycheck, and it's all good, mm-hmm. hopefully. If you're as talented as, you know, me, for example. But
He's on the cusp right now.
For the most part.
Somehow your answer it turns into something about him. But,
so I'm cold, so I'm good.
But the,
I am his talent.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the fact that Jason sees that makes it okay. But if you were not hustling, like you were, are you still working part-time at that little radio station? Mm-hmm.
I have three jobs.
Yeah. So like he sees you driving down to wherever it is, Macon area or whatever.
Columbus.
Right. Columbus, the radio metropolis of South Georgia. And you're doing shows down there. And he sees you getting up early, coming in here. And then you're also a waitress. Like, that makes it okay. But if you just had one waitressing job and you're like, oh my God, this sucks, I'm never going to make it, then I think in the back of his mind, he'd be like, oh, I got kind of a loser here.
Well, you've already built up like a person with credibility with him up until this point. You guys mm-hmm. have gone out. He knows what your character is. If you guys were just starting to go out and he saw all this and he didn't know who Joanna is, then maybe I would say, yeah, he might look down on that. Mm-hmm. But you've got a resume built, a credibility with this guy. So mm-hmm. he just wants to help out.
Okay, well, I'll let him help out, but I am going to pay back every time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also think it's a misconception that in your relationship throughout your life, you're both going to be financially secure. I mean, you're never parallel with each other. One person's usually doing very well, the other one, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if you both are doing financially great, that's a blessing. But you also, in a strong relationship, you know, it goes back and forth mm-hmm. and ebbs and flows. And so you'll go through this with him many times over. You know?
Joanna's going to put herself on the Voice Disguiser to try to win the $1,000.
Hey, guys, I need to take a break.
We're on to you, Joanna.
Listen, it's the Vert Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
Good morning, Q100.
Hey, I just wanted to know if you ever got around to reading that paper that you got from the restaurant.
Oh. I think it's time. Let's go ahead and do this.
Yes.
Thank you for the reminder.
Landmark.
All right, bye.
Thank you.
I'm excited about this.
Okay. I really am so torn about this whole thing. I really am. Landmark Diner, man, and I just feel the need to say this every time I talk about them because they really did establish for me for years that was my go-to late-night eating place, the one in Buckhead. Apparently mm-hmm. there are some all over there. They have them all over the place. Yeah, I didn't know that. So, yeah, you know, I'd go out on a night on a drink in Midtown or what have you, get the taxi, take it on over to Landmark Diner, get some of their mozzarella stick. Wendy and I met there one night.
So well, good. Everything about this it's good. Perfect for you because you go out in Buckhead so much and you live in Sandy Springs. So that those neon lights are almost like a beacon welcoming you home.
It's like a fly to one of those lanterns.
Yes.
Boom, like you're right on it.
Well, guess what? That lantern just turned into one of those bug zapper lights.
So I have been eating there for years and years and years, right?
It's where the stars meet at night.
That's what the sign says. I've never been there sober, to be totally honest with you. Stacy and I went there again a couple of weeks ago. We got our wine on pretty good. We ended up over at Landmark Diner. And in all honesty, the server there that we had just hadn't bathed since about 1986, I think. I mean, it was so bad, like, we couldn't eat bad. Like, the stank hovered over the table.
Ew.
While he... Stacy and I, it was almost laughable because we just couldn't get the stank away. Like, he was reaching over to give us our food.
Keep
the elbow into the ribs, bruh.
Eesh.
It was that bad.
That's so offensive.
We let it go because it's our place, you know? And then a couple of weeks later, Stacy and our Burt's Big Adventure coordinator, Amy, ended back over there getting some pickup. And they drive back to the house, and Amy is eating some apple pie, and she feels something in her mouth, and it's crunchy. Mm-hmm. And she pulls this thing out of her mouth, and it was a jagged fingernail.
Just a couple of thoughts. Did anyone actually look at her fingernails immediately following that incident?
Oh, my God.
Why, you think that she bit off her own fingernails?
Possibly.
It was a jagged, so she ripped off her nail and spit it into
Have you ever been really hungry?
Not that hungry.
And you tear off your own fingernail?
That hungry.
And ever since I told that story, I have been Facebook. Somebody posted last night something that happened over at Landmark Diner also where there was mold on the bread. And there's another one about a Band-Aid and stuff. So I sort of put the story away just knowing I'm never going to go to Landmark Diner again. Then Friday, I go and I get my mail here. And there are two pieces of mail. They're pretty thick from Landmark Diner.
Well, you're missing the bet part. You ate Landmark Diner.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Which is the reason why we started talking about it again,
right? Because when Tennessee and Georgia played, Bert and I usually make a bet every year. And so the bet was that if Georgia lost that game, that Bert would have to eat a meal that I ordered him from Landmark Diner. And so Tennessee did win that game. And so that Monday morning, we brought Landmark Diner in and Bert ate it.
And it was good.
And it was good.
And it was good.
But it brought up Landmark Diner over and over and over again, so I'm sure they weren't happy there. So I get these two pieces of mail.
Okay.
They're pretty
big,
thick.
Big, thick envelopes.
Were they mailed or hand-delivered?
That is
really thick, right?
Were they hand-delivered?
Yeah, they must have been because there's no postage on it. I didn't realize that.
I knew I smelled someone in the lobby.
And I didn't even realize, honestly, that it was from Landmark Diner. It was just an envelope, a thick envelope that I opened up, right?
Right.
And I opened it up, and the very
Landmark Diner
headline on it in big black
and
white letters is Landmark Diner. So I start to read it, then I stop. And I'm starting to think, okay, for theater here, it would be
better. Just so you know, that's your superpower. The fact that you can hold something with such information in your hand and ignore it.
Yeah.
God, you're good at that.
That really, truly is a superpower.
I've watched Bert delete unopened emails forever. They're gone.
Because when you do that, you give the other person power. If you
read that, but there's information that you can have.
I don't want it. If it can hurt me, why would I read it?
Because it's there.
This is a different kind of power. I was strictly thinking radio theater in this case.
But the good thing about that is that the top of the page is the logo of Landmark Diner instead of it, you know, from Fulton County, you know, magistrate court. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't look like a legal lawsuit-y kind of thing.
So I didn't read it. The only thing that I would like for Jeff to do is just read, like, the last line or two,
to make sure,
sure it doesn't say "do not read."
My attorney, thank you for not reading this on the air.
And then I'll read it for the very first time. Now this could contain. It could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, Bert, you're an SOB. I can't believe you would say that. It could have hell scores in there. It could be, sorry, we just changed management. It could be anything.
I read one line in there that indicates you're fine.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Read it away. Read away.
Dear Bert, my name. When you say fine, that means that we can read it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dear Bert, my name is Nick Lambro, and I am one of the partners in the Landmark Diner Group here in Atlanta. I operate the downtown location at the corner of Lucky and Forsyth Streets, across from the Rialto Theater. I'm writing this letter based on what was said on your show between the 9th and 12th and 15th and 17th and 19th about our establishment. I have to ask, dot, 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 capital letters, WTF, Bert. Exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point, question mark.
Uh-oh.
Now, Bert, you said you had been a customer of ours for over 8 years. In all that time, how many truly bad experiences have you encountered as opposed to good ones? Being in the restaurant business for most of my life, I understand some people hold a high standard to any place they eat. Others expect more from an elegant white tablecloth establishment like Hal's at 8 p.m. on Friday and less perhaps from a drive-thru at 3 a.m. You give me the impression that you are the type of guy who knows the difference and understands it, but also seem to be the kind of DJ I'd like to sit down with and have a beer with. I'm not exactly sure what that paragraph means.
I think he's saying that it's a casual place or a place you would go to have a beer with a DJ like you, Mr. WTF.
But what is he saying? That the standards at like a house that has white tablecloths should be set higher than a place like Landmark Diner?
I think he's saying it's a more casual dining experience. It's
bizarre.
It doesn't seem to be arguing a very good case for a Landmark Diner.
It makes sense. I would keep reading it. I think he's just saying,
lower my standards when I go to a place like Landmark.
Probably
Diner.
Not of cleanliness, but of ambiance.
Yeah. Okay. I've never had a problem with the ambiance there. That's for sure. At my downtown location, one I have not heard any comments about. Honestly, I didn't even know they had a downtown location. That would have saved me a trip. We strive to provide a quality product at a reasonable price, but we are not without some mistakes from time to time. Everyone makes mistakes, and every restaurant does too. As far as a funky linger, I don't know. Maybe your server had some garlic and onion chili cheese dogs that day, and by accident, a silent but deadly slipped out and hung around for a minute. Could that be a possibility? Nope. That was body odor. I could give you a series of logical possibilities for all the on-air comments made the other day, but you don't seem to be the kind of guy who would throw an 8-year relationship, of which I'm sure you have fond memories, and maybe some you probably can't remember, down the drain due to some broken wind once. Is it because you were with your wife? Was it, what if it was 4 a.m. and you were with your buddies? What score would the gas get on a scale from 1 to 10? Trust me, I understand, sir. Let me say, that wasn't gas, by the way, that we're talking about. That was.
I'm just shocked that an owner of a restaurant was talking about his waiters passing gas.
But, yeah. Hey, apologies, my waiter farted.
The bottom line is you have absolutely nothing to worry about when dining with us in the future.
So he's.
We have never tampered with anyone's food and never planned to do so. Over almost a decade, you have experienced lots of laughs, good food, and great times in our restaurant. Thanks to great people like you, The Bert Show, as well as all of our customers supporting us over the years, we've been fortunate to open 3 other locations in town. We'd like to think of these new locations as your nieces and nephews that are waiting for you to come and visit your extended family. One thing I learned while growing up in my family's New Jersey diners is whether high or low, you should always be able to rely on your family to do the right thing in the end. You should never go against them. There's only a couple paragraphs left here. Thank you for taking the time to read my letter, which may perhaps give us here at the Landmark Diner a chance to respond to what was said. My goal is to straighten out any mistakes or confusion and to resolve whatever situation that may have occurred. Included in this letter are some gift certificates, which I encourage you to use in visiting all of our locations, as well as my card with my cell number. Please do not give my number out on the air. Call anytime if you may have a compliment or a complaint or just need a restaurateur's point of view. Sincerely, Nicolaus Lambro, owner, partner, and Bert Show listener. There you have it.
Okay.
Okay, that was the first envelope. And I'm assuming the second envelope, because it's just really, really thick, are more gift certificates.
From the Fulton County.
This is the one that says, oh, yeah, P.S. Don't read the letter on the air.
Yeah.
No, it's the exact same letter with more gift certificates in it.
Hmm.
I don't know. I
think okay.
I appreciate them for responding. I think I don't think it addressed all of the issues, but that can always be expected when people listen to stuff on the radio. You know, nobody ever gets, if you hear something secondhand about something we did on the Bert Show, I guarantee you, you did it wrong. You heard it wrong.
And it's always way worse when it gets back to you. Although,
a nail and an a nail.
Apple
That's
pie. Pretty bad stuff. Bad. Yeah.
So I don't think it was the most professional letter, but I think it was a response, which is.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't
want. And it was a cordial response.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was, we would like to maintain the relationship.
Yeah.
The only part that bothers me is that second paragraph where I'm still a little confused, where it almost sounds like he's saying, set your standards a little lower when you're in a place like ours.
Because I think my interpretation of that, I don't think that was the smartest thing for him to write, but my interpretation of that is because he may not have heard it firsthand or mm-hmm. only caught the second half of it or some, you know, something like that. My interpretation of that is that maybe he thought you were complaining about the whole experience at the Landmark Diner. Oh, maybe no. The service took too long, or the people around you were loud or anything like that. That's going to be a different experience than you get
right
mm-hmm. at a you know, going to a canoe for an anniversary dinner. You know what I mean?
One fingernail in a meal is probably going to.
Well, you notice he didn't.
That's a game changer for me.
He probably didn't address that at all. Mm-mm. So my guess is he didn't even hear that.
Well,
part.
He did a little bit because he says from time to time mistakes happen. Hey Tracy, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say, first of all, I totally agree with Jeff. It really wasn't the most professional letter. I mean, you don't start a letter, especially to a radio DJ that has a great listenership, with saying WTF in the first paragraph.
I thought that was actually pretty funny.
That's probably on par with us.
Well, yeah. But the two things that I just want to point out is I can't believe that, like, Mr. What's His Restaurant report card over at CVS hasn't gone down there. I mean, let's get the health inspector down there. And then the other thing that's really interesting, I'm actually just reading this book about, like, it's called Your Call Is Not That Important to Us, talking totally about customer service. And it's so funny that he didn't address the other things, because the whole book talks about, A, how customer service is getting bad, but, two, how, you know, if somebody likes something, they'll tell, like, you know, four people. If they have a bad experience, they will tell anybody and everybody. And in this day and age of Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff, I mean, it goes viral so quickly. And so I find it very interesting that he, like you said, he didn't address the fingernail, which to me is the biggest issue. I mean, that.
But he may not have. Did you ever call him? Did you call the restaurant ever that after that happened to tell them that it happened?
No, I was just going to let it go. And then Adam came in and it sparked my memory.
Right. So the fact that, yeah, he may not know that. I don't think that's fair to do that, because if he was only listening on day one, you know, on the first day of the executions, then he may not have known about the nail.
And the Buckhead story isn't even his.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, is he part owner or is he a manager?
It says
part owner.
Part owner. Yeah. But mm-hmm. he works primarily at the downtown.
Owner, partner, Burt Show listener.
Okay. Because you made a reference about the downtown restaurant.
I won't get to Burt Show Melissa's call, but she wanted to know if it was hand-delivered to my house. No, it was here at the station.
That'd be freaky
that
if it showed
scary.
Up at your house.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, Laura, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say, do you have a minute? Because there's so much here. First of all, I'm serious. I've been in the business 30 years in various positions, including management. Mm-hmm. And this has got to be one of the most creatively WTF letters you've ever gotten. So, okay, first of all, is it on? If it's on, I've got some things we can do.
Huh?
Somebody should send an intern down to his location, find out what the health score is. Two, I have met Adam, waited on him. I've dealt with him.
Adam
He's a
Murphy.
Great guy, Adam Murphy. You can call the health department, that's what it's there for, and report certain incidences. They will send someone practically immediately down to investigate. So they will do a spot inspection on the original Landmark Diner, but you need to find the health score out of the diner in which is in question downtown. So
it's not. Well,
yeah, it's
I
not
just
even
think that that's not really the tone necessarily that we need to take in this situation.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think you're taking it too seriously right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the letter's quirky, and you know,
yes, quirky
maybe,
is a good word for
maybe
it.
Maybe slightly unprofessional, but at the same time, it's cordial. It's nice. He says, "Come back anytime." Uh-huh. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
maybe
we've already said the violations that they've had. You know that you've had experiences with. Let the health department go out there and test them, and then have Adam Murphy come back on and report what the score is,
the official score,
because the official score could be 100.
I just wish the defense on that second paragraph was stronger than it is in here. You know?
But he's not
even addressing it.
But he doesn't. He may not know it.
I would have a hard time believing that.
I feel like we're being unfair to this guy because It came up on the radio. Who knows what he heard?
Yeah.
You never called their store. It's from a different location. I actually am pretty proud of him for handling it head on.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I can't agree with that. Like, hey, Jennifer.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. The letter just kind of shocked me a little bit because I'm an owner of a small business, and I mean, I've made mistakes before. Everybody makes mistakes, like you said in the letter, but there was no accountability. He never apologized, you know, and said, hey, come back in, give us a second try. You know, I'm sorry that you had such a bad experience with that waiter. I've addressed it with my staff. You know, we've made a lot of improvements based on what you said on air. You know, I think that would, I've never been to Landmark Diner and I've never heard of it, but I think if he addressed it that way and said that, yes, things may have been bad, but now we've really addressed them and made them better, I think I would be more likely to go. But now I'm still not convinced.
Yeah, we strive to provide a quality product at a reasonable price, but we are not with some mistakes from time to time. That's as close as we get to them addressing it. One more and then we'll move on. Good morning, Shannon. You're on Q100.
Yeah, I'm a general manager, and I've managed places where the meal has been $5, and I've managed places where the meal is $40. There should be no difference in standard as far as health is concerned, as far as quality is concerned. You're still a paying customer, and no matter what, the quality and the health should always be the same. I'm sorry. He's condoning the behavior, and I'm getting so irritated with the lack of customer service nowadays, and not looking into what happened and apologizing for what happened.
Well, I do want to
not be condoning the behavior.
I do want to give credit for him, you know, because I agree with Jeff. At least he wrote and gave you gift certificates, said to come back in. So I do think there was an effort there. I'd be more offended if there was no response whatsoever, and it's like just stupid DJs, and who cares? You know what I mean?
It was so almost too casual.
I do want to give him credit for that. Yes, yeah. I mean, it could have been more professional, and he could have looked into it before he wrote, but I don't want to, not give him credit for
He's responding to something yes. that, quite honestly, was pretty unprofessional, too. Like, not calling the restaurant before bringing it up on the air? That's kind of...
Not really. I mean, how many times in any given day will we talk about experiences that we have on the air? I mean, it wasn't going to change anything.
Yeah, but I think we've done a pretty good job of burying them. For two experiences that you had, compared to all the great meals that you've had there.
I think you're sticking up for this guy because you're a restaurant owner.
Absolutely, I am.
Uh-huh. I don't think you lack credibility in this area because you're not looking at it through objective eyes.
I think I'm looking at it that when it first came up, it was a crazy story. And when it second came up, it was two crazy stories and it was gross. And I accepted it. But now I feel like this guy has extended a hand and said whatever. And, you know, he may not. We don't know how much of the story this guy who wrote the letter knows.
And it says Birchall listener in it. So I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean,
don't know. I mean, again, if you and I were talking and this experience happened to you, I would pass that story on to somebody else.
Which is fine.
Right.
But I just feel like we've really buried this restaurant and we're not giving him credit for at least extending a hand.
Which he's done.
Right.
I don't know if it was a very professional hand, but it was a hand nonetheless. So that at least we can say that.
Something he reached out and said,
okay,
hey, come back in.
Got it.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Burt Show.
All right, I have a question. It's one of those we may not get any calls on it, and if we don't, I'd be happy because that's the goal here.
Okay.
It's to bring up a segment that pertains to nobody in our listening audience. And I think it probably does, but I don't know that anybody would call themselves out on it. All right, 404-741-Q100. I was watching Cougar Town last week, which is becoming, as a dude, I'm probably not supposed to dig that show. I like it. I think it's really, really, really funny. You guys seen it yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've only seen it one time, but I thought it was cute.
It's funny. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching, I guess I was watching last week's episode this week, and Courtney Cox's character realizes that she's not good in bed.
Wow, wasn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wait, was that high-pitched?
What?
Nothing. On a scale from 1 to 10, was that a 9?
Definitely.
Was it a 6?
Way higher.
The story that you need to know, earlier in the episode, they established that when guys speak in a high-pitched voice, it means they're lying.
So he's obviously lying because he's speaking up, right? So they have this sexual tension between the two of them because they've been waiting 10 dates before they have sex. They finally have sex, and it's awful. And the next morning, she's having breakfast with her friends and realizes that she just might not be good in bed. In fact, she goes back to her ex-husband and asks him what he thinks about her in bed, and he basically said, really, you're not very good.
Oh,
that's harsh.
Brutal.
So here is my question. Do you know, are you sure you are bad in bed? Who would call up and admit that you are for sure you know you are bad in bed?
Can we put them on the voices?
Of course, we would have to. That's the only way we would get calls.
Yeah.
Now, I think the only two ways you would know is if you're a guy and she's never, you know,
Gone there.
Or somebody's told you.
Oh, how brutal of a conversation is that? But it has to be more than one person, because if one person thinks you're bad, maybe the other person doesn't. So maybe you have to hear it twice.
And I'm not looking for somebody that used to be bad in bed and then somebody corrected you and now you're good in bed. I'm looking for somebody to call in that you know today, if you have sex with somebody, they are going to be disappointed.
Oh, my God.
Because you're just
so
not
harsh.
Good at it.
That is brutally mean. Aww.
I think this may be it. I think this may be the one time we don't get any calls.
But there might. We'll get a call because there's going to be somebody who's tried and is just giving up on it.
One phone line.
There's one.
Would it be really, did I win $1,000?
Would it be really obviously awkward right now if I excuse myself to the restroom for about 5 minutes?
Because I think most people would typically blame the chemistry. Like, oh, I'm normally really good, but the chemistry with this person was just off.
Now, this has to be all on you. Like, you're just, no, I'm not good. Like, I could tell you right now, I am not a good dancer. Mm-hmm. I know it for sure. Mm-hmm. I've seen glimpses of me in mirrors before, and I've seen my shadow, and I'm not a good dancer. I just know that about me. There's got to be somebody that's like, I just know, you know, I'm good at softball. I'm good at soccer. I just suck in bed. Don't save that.
No, save all of that.
Brad, you are on the voice disguiser.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, Brad.
You tell us.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad, I gotta admit. I'm in a gay relationship, and so there's only so much you can do, and I just end up always laying there. And that's just how it started out, and I was content to do that, and that's just how it's been for 4 years.
Does it just feel awkward to you, or somebody actually said to you, you're just bad at this?
No, I feel awkward, and I keep saying, you know, like, aren't I boring? And the other one's, you know, the boyfriend's like, no, this is really good. This is how I like it. He likes to be, you know, dominant, I guess.
Okay.
So you just feel awkward, and you're assuming that you're just not good.
Even though he's telling you everything's fine, you know in your heart you're not good.
Yeah, I'm not doing a thing. I'm just laying there. I can't do anything.
Really? So you're sort of paralyzed?
Well, I mean, at first it was just, well, this is nice. You know, I don't have to worry about doing anything. And then it just kind of came to be, well,
the standard.
I guess.
Hey, there's a news story out of Ohio that your boyfriend might be interested in, and about a guy in a morgue who's having sex with the bodies.
Oh, dude.
What is wrong
why
with you?
Why are you making
why?
Well, it doesn't sound like, I don't know. It doesn't sound like you're, I don't know.
You don't really have concrete proof that you're bad in bed.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case with you, you know? I just think you're bored. I think you're bored.
He says the other dude's having fun.
The other dude's having fun, but I think you're bored and mistaking it for that you're not good.
What?
No, I don't think there's a mistake. He's just not good. I mean, nothing's good if you just lay there.
Save that.
Hey, this is the only two calls we got. No women calling up to say that they're bad in bed.
Of course not. We're like pros.
John, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, my name is John. I go to NGCSU, and I just, you know, I got a girlfriend, but I'm not good in bed. I just can't get into it. I don't know.
Seriously?
Did she tell you?
I love how he just identified himself. Serial number.
I know. It's almost like it's an AA meeting.
Yeah. I'm impressed that you've embraced how bad you are.
It's just something you accept after a while. And I love my girlfriend. I love what I do, but I can't get into it, you know. And it's just... It's just kind of a mindset thing, I guess.
Is it something that she's told you?
No. It's just, I guess part of it is I don't really enjoy it, it seems, sometimes.
You don't enjoy sex?
I enjoy it, but it's not some, I don't know. I just feel like I'm not doing it with someone I don't know. I've thought about being gay a couple times just because of it.
You think you'd be better if you were in a gay relationship?
Well,
it's not like
a softball team where if you're not a good player, you go play in a different league.
Goes back to what Jim was saying.
Go to another team.
I think most people think it's the chemistry. I think most people think it's the partner they're with. Because I'm just trying to. And the last caller.
I've been with other partners, and it's never. I've been with three different girls. And it's never been as good as I want.
Yeah, if you don't like it, you're not going to be good at it.
See, if the person now in your case, you haven't tried the other side, like you brought it up, the fact. But that one person, I feel bad for that one person. Like, yeah, I tried with girls, I tried with guys, and I'm just not good with anybody.
I'm just bad. There's nothing else to go to.
Oh, honey.
Here's Tracy. She wants to be on The Voice Disguiser.
Hey.
Hi.
I have not been told directly that I am horrible in that department, but I personally believe that I am.
And how do you know this?
Well, I've tried both ways. I've tried guys and I've tried girls, and it seems like nothing works for me. It, like, never feels good. Nothing ever works. And so everyone else seems to like it, so it must be me.
Jen is so sad for you. Look at this face that Jen has. Like, she just wants to hug you.
I do. I just feel like you got to figure out what that is. It's never, ever been an enjoyable thing.
Never.
Well, then you won't be good at it. That's for sure.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Are you okay by yourself?
Yeah, I could do it by myself. Yeah.
See,
yeah.
You're just looking for the right partner. That's all it is.
Don't put it on yourself. It's got to be the dudes. Because you guys have told us before that most dudes stink in bed. They suck. So.
Well, she said she had tried guys and girls and nothing
tried
worked.
Both.
It could just be her.
I would do that.
Dude, it could be.
Oh, this is becoming sad. This is not making anybody feel better.
Hey, Liz, you're on The Voice Disguiser. Hi.
I'm one of those girls that's, like, very voluptuous. And, like, when guys see me, they think, wow, like, she's going to be spectacular. And they hound me and hound me. Know what? When they get in there, I show them differently.
She's like hailing her badness.
She fooled you. You thought she was going to be good.
I told you I was bad in bed.
Joke's on you. I'm not good in bed.
The Bert Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Burt Show.
You've seen this play out. What does it make you feel like, you know, as the owner of Creator?
Earlier, Tyra, you aired our two commercials, and I firmly believe that in a 30-second TV commercial, I'm not going to convince anybody to have an affair. That's a decision you come to based on your life circumstances.
But I'm talking about them. When you watch...
I feel terrible.
How do you feel
me coming and kicking your ass right
now?
Oh, boy. That's how I feel right now. I feel like coming right up there and knocking you out, bud.
I feel a heart inside of you that you're trying to cover up right now.
I have a heart.
I know.
I do.
I feel it.
I feel it. Of course. It's all about you, Tyra.
Here is the president of AshleyMadison.com. It's Noel Betterman. Good morning.
Morning. That was one of my finer moments for sure.
I bet you can't hear that enough, right?
Yeah, I get that. It gets replayed time and time again, but I guess it made for good TV.
Do you get confronted by people within your own circle that know that you are the president and founder of this company? Like, dude, I mean, can't you make your money somewhere else? Do they say that to you?
Well, before I started the business, listen, I had to check in with my then fiance. I spoke to my parents, my brother, his wife, my friends. And in the end, you know, people judged me for my own personal life and understood that I was just pursuing what I believed to be an excellent business opportunity. And so, you know, no, I don't get any backlash in my personal sphere of influence because I operate AshleyMadison.com.
Are you married?
Yeah, happily married.
Really?
What does she think about the website? Your wife?
No, I think she thinks the same thing I do, that in the end, you know, if someone strays in the workplace, it's going to end badly and someone's going to lose their job. Just look at, you know, the David Letterman situation is an extreme example. But, you know, or going on a singles dating site and pretending to be something you're not is unfair to that unsuspecting single. And clearly, visiting an escort or a prostitute is, you know, breaking the law. And the bottom line is... you know, we know people stray, and they stray whether they're politicians, celebrities, athletes, or the guy next door, or the woman, you know, in the cubicle next to you, and it happens. And so why not allow it to happen in a community of like-minded adults where everybody knows what they're getting into? And that's what Ashley Madison is.
Let me just reiterate for those that are just hanging out today that this is a website. It's the world's number one married dating service specifically for attached men and women who are looking to have an extramarital affair. And there's over 4.5 million members on this.
Yeah, listen, we're the fastest growing dating site in the world right now. And so
wow.
I think that says a lot about society and where we're headed. But more importantly, about what's in our DNA and how people behave. And it's easy to be judgmental. It's easy to sit there and say, oh, that person's wrong because they cheated. But we truthfully don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And what I do know is the vast majority of people, the 20 million Americans in sexless marriages, didn't sign up for that. That's not what they expected when they took their vows. And so I guess you have a choice in this world. You can be entirely selfish and put sex first and walk away from your relationship, but I think that's really harsh on your children, on your family, extended family, or you can try an alternative. And while that's painful to believe that infidelity is an alternative, it does work. And it does work if you look at societies like France or Japan that have really high infidelity rates but really low divorce rates, and you can't help but wonder if they haven't figured something out that we haven't.
I have so many questions for you.
Yeah, where do you start, right? I'm writing them all down as he's talking.
I know.
I want to just follow up on the France thing.
Okay.
Though, like, is infidelity accepted in France?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the rates for men are close to 90%, and the divorce rates are half of that what's in America. So what you really have is a de-emphasis on sex and monogamy. And basically, you have people saying marriage has foundations, but sex is not one of them. It's about economics. It's about children. It's about, you know, extended family. And so by de-emphasizing the sexual component, they're saying, listen, we keep together the family side, and marriage has a lot more to it. But we know people have dalliances, but it doesn't necessarily mean the end-all and be-all. And so all the research we know is that children really benefit from having two parents together in a family union. It doesn't have anything to do with what their sex lives are about. And so if we believe that's the important thing of, you know, the important foundation of marriage, then we really have to revisit it.
Wow.
Is it something that you think an American culture can wrap their brain around, though?
Well, it's a changing ebb right now. Back in the 60s and 70s, it was happening. We were changing the institution of marriage. We were de-emphasizing sex, or at least liberalizing it. But it really stopped. It stopped in the 80s, where there was a fear around sexually transmitted infection disease, you know, conservatism, religious, return to religious roots. Whatever the factors were, it really did stop. But it's changing once again. I'm at the forefront of it. And like any good entrepreneur at the forefront of something, it can often feel controversial. But I feel it. I see it with how my ads are now being adopted and run on places like CNN and on Fox, and how many members I have joining the service. And if you look at younger generations who are happy to allow same-sex unions or are supportive of open marriages or de-emphasizing religion, it's changing. It might take a couple of decades. It might take 30, 40 years. But, you know, monogamy is probably on its last legs. The institution of marriage will not look the same for our, you know, children and grandchildren as it does for us.
This is obviously not your first interview. You almost sound proud that you're a pioneer of infidelity.
Well, yeah, you just have to look back at over time. So, you know, Hugh Hefner had to go through a lot of loopholes and jump through a lot of hoops to publish a magazine that had, you know, pictorials of naked women. At the time, it was extremely controversial. Now it's so mundane. His magazine is probably going to cease to exist in the next couple of years. And so right now, it feels like I'm a really controversial character, that I've created the most controversial website in the history of mankind. But that's only because, you know, we're sitting on these notions around monogamy and marriage that are probably very dated, and they just don't reflect the reality. And it won't feel that way in the future. So history will bear me out. But in the meantime, I'm making a good living, and I accept that. And I'm happy to have the discussion around matrimony and infidelity. And I personally have written a book, you know, called Cheaters Prosper, you know, How Infidelity Can Save the Modern Marriage. And I've come to believe it. I've come to really believe that, you know, by letting people stray, they can keep their marriage together and make a better marriage as a result.
Well, your customers aren't in open marriages. They're coming to you because it is a secret. So as a married customer, why would they trust you to keep it a secret?
Well, I'm not really sure your question. The whole service is set up for discretion. So when you sign up, I don't even know who's on my service. I get asked all the time, are there athletes on your service? And for sure, all those people are on there, but I would never know. I never ask you your name. The entire messaging is discreet between you and your communique. And then even the way I bill you isn't billed through Ashley Madison. And so everything we do on the service is about discretion. So there's nothing I can reveal to anybody, nor would I ever be motivated to. I have a very strict privacy policy, and why would I ever give up their information?
Wow. Would you allow your wife, I'm sure you've never been asked this question, to sign up for AshleyMadison.com if she felt it's what your marriage needed?
Well, it's not about allowing. Listen, if my wife strayed, I would be devastated. But I wouldn't blame an inanimate object. That would be ridiculous. I wouldn't blame the cell phone she chatted on, or the website she met the person on, or the hotel room she had sex in. I wouldn't blame any of those things. I wouldn't even blame the person she had the liaison with. And ultimately, I don't think I would blame my wife. I would take a look in the mirror and say, how did I fail my relationship? It's called accountability. Mm-hmm. And if people don't want to have accountability in their lives and in their personal lives, they're going to fail. They're not going to succeed.
On your website, and again, we're talking about Ashley Madison, and this is a website that is dedicated for married people. It's a married dating service specifically for attached guys and women. On the website, it says you guys offer a guarantee that you'll have an affair.
Listen, we've become, you know, I've been doing this for 8 years. We've become so ubiquitous across America that Ashley Madison is becoming synonymous with the word cheating. Last night, or two nights ago, on Californication, you know, the stripper's name jokingly was Ashley Madison. You can go look at, you know, how many songs were being used in the phrase. And so as a result, we just have 4.8 million members using our service. That's an incredibly large amount of Americans who have logged into Ashley Madison to become active members of the site. So I don't care where you are in America, if you sign up today, within 24 hours, you're going to meet somebody of interest. And so we're prepared to offer a guarantee which says, if you're not happy, if you're not finding what you need on Ashley Madison, we'll just give you back your money. We're okay with that.
Where does the name come from?
Well, again, you know, when I started the website and I canvassed all my friends and different people's opinions, I think everyone believed that men would go online to seek out affairs. People were less sure that women would do it. There is a gender difference when it comes to these issues, and you can definitely hear it and see it on the interviews that I've done. And even on this one, I think there's definitely different people who perceive it differently. And I didn't want to build a website, come cheat on my wife, or, you know, acquire people through pornography. I wanted to build a brand. I wanted to do TV advertising and radio advertising. And ultimately, the way I designed the site was all so that women would feel comfortable with it. And in 2001, the most popular little girls' names in America were Ashley and Madison. And if women were naming their children that,
wow,
I thought they'd have some kind of affinity for that kind of branding.
Wow.
Wow.
That's brilliant.
You're certainly not a stupid
not
man.
Not what I thought you were going to say.
Good morning, Tracy. You're on Q100.
Good morning. I was really, and no offense, but I was really prepared to not like this guy because I really thought he'd be some sort of, you know, sleaze or whatever. But sounds very well educated, and like he really thought this through. I am married, would never use the website, sorry. But he's really making a good pitch for his product, and I'm really impressed with what he has to say. It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, like I said, I was really prepared not to like him, but way to go.
If you wouldn't use it,
I've already done an interview before.
If you wouldn't use his website, where would you meet the guy you're going to cheat on your husband with?
Jeff. Jeff.
We're the first company to say to people, you can't reverse this path. So seek counseling. Do whatever you can to keep your marriage healthy. But we also are the first people to realize that, you know, people who are in sexless marriages will stray. They're just, you know, you need air to breathe, water to drink, and adults need to be in romantic situations. And if it's absent in their lives, they're going to stray. That's why in every city in America, there's adult clubs. In every city in America, there's escort agencies. That's why Vegas's tagline has been, we all know it, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hey, Shonda, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, Bird Show. How are y'all doing?
Good morning.
I'm a married woman. I love my husband. We are very, very committed to each other. But I have to agree with the previous caller. I think this guy he's got hitting the nail on the head. I mean, how many times have we heard people come on the Bird Show who entered a relationship with someone they later found out was married? So they entered a situation thinking one thing, and they got something completely different. And like the gentleman is saying, you know, people who have problems in their marriage need to deal with each other. They can't blame, you know, websites or cell phones or anything like that. People need to be accountable. And I would be devastated if my husband strayed on me. I'm sure he would be devastated if I strayed on him. But at the end of the day, we have to work it out. And if people are going to cheat, they're going to cheat, whether they go through a website, whether they get a hooker, you know, whatever they're going to do. And, I mean, at least it's an honest situation where everybody knows what they're getting into.
All right, here is Kim, who has used the site before. Good morning, Kim. You're on Q100.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to call and say that I, like you said, I am a member, and I'm not currently looking for anyone because I found somebody that I'm having a good, quote-unquote, relationship with, but it's such a great service. I'm a divorced woman. I have a young child. And when I had used other forms of internet dating or even gotten set up from my friends just to go out with somebody, whether it's sexually based or just to have dinner or something, it's always with somebody. The guys who are out there in the dating circuit want to get married. And I felt like I was being interviewed to be somebody's next wife. And I don't want that. I don't want a husband. I don't want a stepdad for my son, at least not right now. So this is the perfect outlet for me because I could see somebody. It was a way to make myself feel great about myself, make somebody else feel great about themselves, and then go home.
So, Kim, are you dating married men?
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And you don't feel bad about that?
No, I don't. And I was married, and if my husband had dated somebody, then the gentleman said, I would have looked to myself, but obviously we got divorced, so there wasn't a complete connection in our marriage. And if a married person, man or woman, is going to stray from their marriage, it's not going to be because somebody lured them away or a website lured them away. They're looking for something from another source, and this was just a great way to find it.
So, Noel, if you're right, if your theory is right on where society is going when it comes to sex, and there will be a day, these won't even be called affairs anymore. It will just be the person that you're having sex with and another person that you're married to.
And my website will be over.
Good morning, Carrie. Carrie's not real happy with this whole thing. Hey, Carrie.
Shut him up, please. He just doesn't stop talking. You can justify anything you want to justify. I am mad because he's making human beings sound like animals that were just like these sexual creatures that can't make choices. There are choices of right and wrong.
No, I think you got the choices inverted, right? So the choice is, it's not in your DNA to be monogamous. And so ultimately, our choice is to try and overcome that. We make it sound like, oh, we make this promise and therefore we're going to adhere to it. But if you sign up to a marriage and then all of a sudden you're in a sexless marriage, your partner just doesn't want to be with you, what are you supposed to do? Yes, you can walk away. I don't
you
know
get
if that's
divorced.
The right thing
to that
do.
Is what
that's
you do. You know what? I have three children that I try to, it isn't easy. You are human beings. There's temptations out there. You go through good times, you go through bad times in a marriage. That's all very true. What also is true is you try to teach your kids right from wrong, and you're saying that this is something that you support. So if your child, or if you have children, I'm not sure, if they came to you as an adult and you would condone them having an extramarital affair rather than working on their marriage and trying to promote
children,
staying in the home?
I would tell them that the definition of right and wrong is between them and their partner and for them to figure out that there is no societal right or wrong. Open marriages exist. People in same-sex marriages exist or want to exist. There's all sorts of different lifestyles. Right now you have 48 million Americans who identify themselves as having no religious affiliation. That number has tripled in the last 20 years. You have a changing tide, and so you're you're clinging to archaic notions and you think there's one way to teach people what's right and wrong based on what, I would ask, you know, the institution of marriage not that long ago was by arrangement. You didn't marry people for love. Your parents chose your lifelong partner for you. And before that, men had multiple wives. So we're just in an era now that feels like, oh, it's the end all and be all, which is marrying for love and monogamy. But if more people end up divorced and staying together, then we have failed and we need to reinvent the institution. I don't know why that's so difficult for people to comprehend.
So using your logic then, eventually, when your website's not around anymore, and you, we will be looking at monogamy the same way we look at arranged marriages?
Correct. It's just go look at this Japan. Go look at France. Infidelity rates of over 90%, especially on the male side, and divorce rates in the 1, 2, 4, 5%. They just know and allow their partners to do different things. As long as they continue to have a healthy home life, they've de-emphasized sex and their families stay together.
Hey, Rita, this is the owner and the president of Ashley Madison, and this is a website here that is basically hooking up married people. They're saying go out and have an affair.
Good morning, guys. He's certainly a talker. Well, I just have a simple question. Of course, I have a lot of problems with his website, but you mentioned that this is normal, this is how marriage should be, that cheating should be just accepted. And then you mentioned that you would be devastated if your wife strayed. How does that work then?
But I grew up in the same conventions that you're talking about, right? I grew up in an era where I was told this is what you're supposed to be, and so that's what I agreed to with my partner, and so I would definitely be hurt if she strayed. But I wouldn't blame an inanimate object. Everyone wants to point fingers at me or at my website, and that's just silly. My wife would stray because we weren't working well on our relationship. Our marriage was failing. That's why she would stray.
Melissa, what do you want to say?
Well, I just feel like I feel like I'm on a used car lot, and you're trying to sell me your goods. I still don't want your clunker, and I'm embarrassed that we have you on the air as long as we have.
Listen, I mean,
because if we've contributed,
talking
I'm talking
morality,
now. We've heard you talk long enough. I think if
cheating.
Any Burt Show listener is using your service because of us, I'm embarrassed that I was an agent in that.
Well, I wouldn't be embarrassed about it. You know, what if that
I am
is now much happier in life.
No,
like
lying to somebody never ends up good. You're basing your business on lying, and if you sell your soul to do it, then that's your choice, not mine. You have to live with that.
80,000 Americans this year alone.
You have to live with that. Throw statistics all you want, but you have to live with this business decision in the long run.
But I'm just telling you that alcohol is going to kill 80,000 Americans this year alone from disease and addiction, and yet we've decided as a society that prohibition doesn't work. Adults need to be adults, and they need to decide to live their lives the way they want. If they want to drink themselves to death, we allow them to do it, and you'll take the ads, and you'll run those commercials. And so where do you stand on those issues? If people want to smoke cigarettes, we let them do it.
But they're not lying about it.
In their personal lives, if
they're not hurting somebody else by
not
doing it. If they take a cigarette, that's their own choice because it only hurts them. But having an affair hurts everybody around them.
That's not true. It hurts a lot more than just them, by the way, just on societal.
But they're not lying about it. They're not building it based on lies. And you've built your business based on lies. And if you feel good about that, then that's on you, your soul, not mine.
I feel good because I get fan mail every day from my members saying thank you for being understanding.
I feel bad for them, too.
Well, I don't think you should feel bad for anybody.
I do. I feel bad for their partners that have no idea that they're fans of yours and sending you fan mail.
Because I'm one of those people out there who is saying, you know what? I understand there's not one way to live your life. And that, you know, this is
just
about tolerance.
They're like used car salesman.
And so I built a service where they can improve their lives. And so they're very thankful that not everyone is so hypocritical or stuck in, you know, a different age.
I think he's like Mr. Rogers. Like, you go there, you sit in his living room, you learn about feeding the fish and everything.
Mr. Rogers.
And then you get to go to Make-Believe Land.
Yeah.
All right, Noel, thank you for your time. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks a lot.
The Burt Show.